This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
When will we be paid for the work we've done? When will we be paid for the work we've done?
We have worked this country, from shore to shore. Our women cooked all your food and washed all your clothes. We picked all your cotton and laid the railroad steel. Worked our hands to the bone at your lumber mill. I say,
when will we be paid for the work we've done? When will we be paid for the work we've done?
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Yesterday was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's, would have been his 96th birthday. Monday is the Dr. King celebration. And so, I just wanted to, play something. And one of his great speeches that maybe many of you have never heard, but it's as relevant today as it was yesterday, the three evils of the society. Calvin, if you'll please continue.
It was caused neither by the cry of black power, nor by the unfortunate recent wave of riots in our cities. The white backlash of today is rooted in the same problem that has characterized America ever since the black man landed in chains on the shores of this nation. This does not imply that all white Americans are racist. Far from it. Many white people have, through a deep moral compulsion, fought long and hard for racial justice. Nor does it mean that America has made no progress in her attempt to cure the body politic of the disease of racism, or that the dogma of racism has not been considerably modified in recent years. However, for the good of America, it is necessary to refute the idea that the dominant ideology in our country, even today, is freedom and equality, while racism is just an occasional departure from the norm on the part of a few bigoted extremists. Racism can well be that corrosive evil that will bring down the curtain on Western civilization. Arnold Toynbee has said that some 26 civilizations have risen upon the face of the earth. Almost all of them have descended into the junk heaps of destruction. The decline and fall of these civilizations, according to Toynbee, was not caused by external invasions, but by internal decay. They failed to respond creatively to the challenges impinging upon them. If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men. The second aspect of our afflicted society is extreme materialism. An Asian writer has portrayed our dilemma in candid terms. He says, "You call your 1,000 material devices labor-saving machinery, yet you are forever busy. With the multiplying of your machinery, you grow increasingly fatigued, anxious, nervous, dissatisfied. Whatever you have, you want more. And wherever you are, you want to go somewhere else. Your devices are saving, not soul-saving machinery. There are so many sharp spurs which urge you on to invent more machinery and to do more business. This tells us something about our civilization that cannot be cast aside as a prejudiced charge by an Eastern thinker who is jealous of Western prosperity. We cannot escape the indictment. This does not mean that we must turn back the clock of scientific progress. No one can overlook the wonders that science has wrought for our lives. The automobile will not abdicate in favor of the horse and buggy, or the train in favor of the stagecoach, or the tractor in favor of the hand plow, or the scientific method in favor of ignorance and superstition. But our moral lag must be redeemed. When scientific power outruns moral power, we end up with guided missiles and misguided men. When we foolishly maximize the minimum and minimize the maximum, we sign the warrant for our own day of doom. It is this moral lag in our thing-oriented society that blinds us to the human realities around us and encourages us in the greed and exploitation which create the sector of poverty in the midst of wealth. Again, we have deluded ourselves into believing the myth that capitalism grew and prospered out of the Protestant ethic of hard work and sacrifice. The fact is that capitalism was built on the exploitation and suffering of black slaves. And continues to thrive on the exploitation of the poor, both black and white, both here and abroad. If Negroes and poor whites do not participate in the free flow of wealth within our economy, they will forever be poor, giving their energy, their talents, and their limited funds to the consumer market, but reaping few benefits and services in return. The way to end poverty is to end the exploitation of the poor, ensure them a fair share of the government's services and the nation's resources. I proposed recently that a national agency be established to provide employment for everyone needing it. Nothing is more socially inexcusable than unemployment in this age. In the 30s, when the nation was bankrupt, it instituted such an agency, the WPA. In the present conditions of a nation glutted with resources, it is barbarous to condemn people desiring work to soul-sapping inactivity and poverty. And I am convinced that even this one massive act of concern would do more than all the state police and armies of the nation to quell riots and steal hatreds. And the tragedy is that our materialistic culture does not possess the statesmanship necessary to do it. Victor Hugo could have been thinking of 20th century America when he wrote, "There's always more misery among the lower classes than there is humanity in the higher classes." The time has come for America to face the inevitable choice between materialism and humanism. We must devote at least as much to our children's education and the health of the poor as we do to the care of our automobiles and the building of beautiful, impressive hotels. And we must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
If you are just joining us, again, yesterday would have been Dr. Martin Luther King's 96th birthday. Monday is Dr. King's holiday, and I just felt compelled to play one of his great, great speeches. You know, people know I have a dream, but they have no concept of the, you know, hundreds of speeches that Dr. King gave during this short life, all very potent and powerful, and many of them you can play today. And if you close your eyes, you can say that he's speaking about the ills that impact and affect us even to this day. This particular speech, the three evils of the society, and he's talking about racism, materialism, and militarism. And as we delve deeper into, especially as he gets into the the militarism of our society, you know, you can kind of understand why even to this day we spend more money than almost all the rest of the nations combined on military. 855-752-4842, very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. You keep listening.
Seems to turn out wrong. We've been beat up, called names, shot down and stoned. And every time we do right, someone say we're wrong.
When will we be paid for the work we've done? When will we be paid for the work we've done?
We have given our sweat and all our tears. We stumbled through this life for more than 300 years. We've been separated from the language we knew, stripped of our culture. People, you know it's true. Tell me now,
when will we be paid for the work we've done? When will we be paid for the work we've done?
When will we ever be proud of my country, Tennessee? Will we ever sing out loud, sweet land of liberty?
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, Yesterday was would have been Dr. Martin Luther King's 96th birthday. Monday will be his official holiday, and I wanted to, you know, present to many of you who may have never heard this, one of my favorites of Dr. King's many great speeches. And so we're going to have a discussion afterwards. We're approaching the end of it, the three evils of the society. Calvin, if you'll please.
We must further recognize that the ghetto is a domestic colony. Black people must develop programs that will aid in the transfer of power and wealth into the hands of residents of the ghetto so that they may in reality control their own destinies. This is the meaning of new politics. People of goodwill in the larger community must support the black man in this effort. The final phase of our national sickness is the disease of militarism. Nothing more clearly demonstrates our nation's abuse of military power than our tragic adventure in Vietnam. This war has played havoc with the destiny of the entire world. It has torn up the Geneva Agreement. It has seriously impaired the United Nations. It has exacerbated the hatred between continents and, worse still, between races. It has frustrated our development of home at home, telling our own underprivileged citizens that we place insatiable military demands above their most critical needs. It has greatly contributed to the forces of reaction in America and strengthened the military-industrial complex, and it has practically destroyed and left thousands of American and Vietnamese youth maimed and mutilated, and expose the whole world to the risk of nuclear warfare. Above all, the war in Vietnam has revealed what Senator Fulbright calls our nation's arrogance of power. We are arrogant in professing to be concerned about the freedom of foreign nations while not setting our own house in order. Many of our senators and congressmen vote joyously to appropriate billions of dollars for the war in Vietnam. And many of these same senators and congressmen vote loudly against a fair housing bill to make it possible for a Negro veteran of a decent home. We arm Negro soldiers to kill on foreign battlefields, but offer little protection for their relatives from beatings and killings in our own South. We are willing to make the Negro 100% of a citizen in warfare, but reduce him to 50% of a citizen on American soil. No war in our nation's history has ever been so violative of our conscience, our national interests, and so destructive of our moral standing before the world. No enemy has ever been able to cause such damage to us as we inflict upon ourselves. The inexorable decay of our urban centers has flared into terrifying domestic conflict as the pursuit of foreign war absorbs our wealth and energy. Squalor and poverty scar our cities as our military might destroys cities in a far-off land to support oligarchy.
All right. You know, what I'm going to do is say to you that you can hear the rest of this speech. It's probably another 15 minutes on your own. I would love to open the phone lines and hear your thoughts. We're going to open the phone lines and hear your thoughts about what you've heard thus far. Again, and I would also say to you that there are so many other great speeches that Dr. King, gave that you don't get to hear, you've never heard. And I would also further say that when people want to do away with the history and they don't want these books and they don't want this truth to be taught, you must ask the question, why? What? You can't hide the truth. This is the truth, the history of our nation. And to be quite frank with you, a lot of those things are still taking place in it today. 855-752-4842. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
The dark brown shades of my skin. Splash against my hollow bones that rocks my soul. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew, wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghettos of the city, yeah.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, I played one of the great speeches of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Yesterday would have been his 96th birthday. He lived to be 39 years old before James Earl Ray allegedly took his life. Monday will be the inauguration day of Donald Trump. Will coincide with Reverend Dr. King's holiday. And I have to say, what an irony that a man who gave his life will be, you know, honored the same day that a man who is really looking to turn back the clock on so many of the things that Dr. King fought for. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for listening. You say what, sir?
Yeah, listen, Earl, I really think that some of the important things he said besides what you're giving today is his famous letter from the Montgomery Jail, I believe it was.
Absolutely.
The KKK is a terrible enemy, but white liberals are actually worse. And I grew up in a South Chicago suburb that was created to leave the black neighborhoods that were changing during the war because they had been white neighborhoods and people came back and they wanted to be out in the suburbs away from, you know, with their racism.
Right.
They blame the Jewish realtors, so they're anti-Semitic and racist at the same time. Why not? Go for it. And I was raised to expect it to be like that. And the Vietnam War and Martin Luther King and others proved to me that we were going down the wrong road big time, split all that, tried to do a bunch of activism and stuff. But to see it all come back around again and actually go back to the things my father fought for as a racist and as a, you know, anti-fascist and all in World War II, turns out he was all for Goldwater and all the fascist things that he would be for Trump now if he was still alive. And it's just so ironic that the wheel goes around, and I think we are spiraling in a better direction, such as King said, that the arc of human history is bends towards justice. I think that's true. My children aren't anything like the things I described about my family where I grew up, and it wasn't because we indoctrinated them. They just looked around and said, boy, I like international people. I like people of color. I like people of gender differences. And so there are changes, but it's really sad to see what's going on. I thank so much for what you do, and I'm a soul brother who's white, bro.
Hey, Tom, man, thank you very much, man, for your honesty. And that's what it's going to take, man, you know. And, you know, I understand that, you know, a program like what I am presenting today angers some. But I know that there are people like you. Dr. King always talked about the good people. And so the good people come in all colors. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, well, I wanted to thank you. Although I was crying because to hear his voice again and to hear what he had to say, he turned my life around. I think everybody, I was a young girl at that time and came from the poor side of town, came from the projects, and he stirred something in us that made us feel good about ourselves for the first time and gave us a purpose. And like the gentleman before me, my child, my daughter is nothing like my parents and nothing like where we grew up. But I remember all this, and I do tell people about the sundown law. I do tell people how my parents had to sign a paper saying that they would not sell their home to a person of color.
So, Susan, before you go any further, people may not know about the sundown law. Let them know what the sundown law was.
Okay. In the suburbs, or the small towns like Mayville, okay, this is a really good example of the sundown law. Living next to us was a couple who was a professor, and he actually got a job in Madison, okay? So he happened to be black, and his wife happened to be white, and they went to Madison. They left their baby with my parents and myself. I was 15 at the time. And as they were driving home, they hit Mayville. And because he was black, there was a law that said that no black man could have a white woman in his car during the time of sundown. So he was stopped. He was put in jail, and she had to find a place to stay, and we kept the baby. But the sundown law was no black man could travel through Mayville or any of those small towns during that particular time.
And it didn't have to have a white woman with them. They just were not allowed. And in many states, many towns across the state of Wisconsin shared in sundown laws.
Right. But we were just shocked. And, of course, we took care of the baby. And then they could drive on after in the morning. But she had no money. She had to sleep in the car.
Hey, Susan, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much, as always. Let's go to CJ. CJ, you're up.
Morning, Earl. Happy
good morning.
Birthday, Martin Luther King. What a great man. I wonder what he'd think about today.
I know. I can tell you what he'd think about. I don't have to wonder. Dr. King would be marching today. He would be marching on our government. He would be marching on what is transpiring, where the wealthy have gotten wealthier and left the poor behind, both black and white. He would be marching on oligarchy. He'd be marching on all those things, but go ahead.
Well, I think he had a dream, just like I did for my four children, that the nation would someday be
CJ, I said before, when Dr. King talked about I have a dream, he was 28 years old. By the time he was 39, if you would have listened to the speech I just played, he talked about the only time he was ever booed was when he was in Chicago and 38 years old by black men who had believed in his dream. It would come. But by the time he was 38 years old, he realized the dream had become a nightmare. So don't quote me, I have a dream.
Well, I think he'd vote like most black men did for Trump.
He would not vote for Trump. He would not vote for Trump. It doesn't matter. So, CJ, you apparently didn't hear anything of the speech that I just played. Okay? So I'm not expecting you to change your views and how you feel about things because they're rooted in your past and in your history. And so you can't see what this is all about and what we're talking about.
When your party has to keep racism
This has nothing to do with party. Dr. King spoke clearly about injustice that was done by both parties. You're the guy who's stuck on this party thing, man.
Yeah. Well, you remember which president signed the crime bill and more Republicans voted.
All right, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Tom from L.A., you're up.
God, he just cannot get out of his own way with this whole political party thing. What I would say, Earl, is I think that these speeches of Martin Luther King Jr. and all, because I don't find that they are partisan at all. They're humanist versus the, the slovenly selfishness of people. And I think that if there's any teachers out there, I would ask, please, play these speeches to your kids.
Yeah.
If any parents, play these speeches to your kids. They should be playing these on TV. They should be playing Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speeches because they were never about politics. They were never about partisan politics. They were always about the uber wealthy versus the common person.
Hey Tom, he talked about materialism. He talked about racism, materialism, and militarism. That exists today.
And Earl, if you listen to him, I mean, the thing about him, the thing about some of the great leaders like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they're bold. They don't apologize for what it is that they're saying. And they know what they're saying.
Well,
he's so clear within themselves
Tom,
about a message.
He thought so much about it, he gave his life. okay? He knew he was going to be killed, but he didn't stop. You know, how many of us are willing to go all the way? He did. If I could tell you how many times Dr. King got hundreds of thousands of phone calls that talked about they were going to blow his brains out and his children and the horrible and horrific things that they were going to do to his family as he marched throughout the South. But he kept pushing. He kept fighting for justice and was right.
Absolutely. And it's not about left or right. It's not about any of that. It's about being a human being and being human.
Hey, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. We'll continue. 855-752-4842. Your thoughts up next.
I want you to know that I don't speak for myself, but I speak for y'all too right now. You see, if you're half white, light brown skin, or the high yellow, you're still black. So we all got to stick together right now. This I want to say to you, my sisters and my brothers. Right on, sister. Right on, brother. Dig this. If we keep on pushing, y'all, oh, we got to make it a little bit further. We got to make it a little further. All we got to do is try, try, try. And some of us, we're trying so hard. We're trying so hard. We're trying so hard. We're trying so hard, so hard to be somebody. We're trying so hard, although they're holding us back. And it stands to reason that they're doing us like that. You know what? It is. I believe it's because we're black.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. I wish I had more time, but not to worry. Monday, we're going to do a little bit more of this as it is the official Dr. King holiday. Let's go back to the phone lines. Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. And Calvin. 1967, I was in Vietnam getting shot. But anyway, the sundown law that the young lady was talking about, it's still active in and around Milwaukee. When I worked at Whitefish Bay High School, police followed me every day when I got back to the school after events, track meets, et cetera, and stopped me 3 times just to harass me. During that same time, a African-American basketball coach was attacked by police, firefighter, Milwaukee firefighter, taking a kid home from a game. this is still going on today. So this stuff hasn't stopped. It just, nobody talks about it. Nobody reports it. It goes on in Greenfield, Greendale, New Berlin, when there are people of color on their streets after dark. They got people haunting them to a point where letting you know we don't want you in our community. So,
you know, Al, CJ said if Dr. King was alive today, he would vote for Donald Trump. So CJ clearly does not know anything about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He lived during that time, CJ, but he's one of those people who just has no clue.
Girl, CJ is drinking some of that moonshine he's making in his backyard. He don't know nothing about Dr. King or African-American and Native American people, and he don't really care. He's calling every day to harass you. That's all he's doing. And if I were you, I would not even take his call.
Hey Al, thank you very much for the call, as always, man. Really appreciate it. Hey, Jack from Racine, how you doing, man?
Very well. Thank you, Earl. I appreciate hearing some speeches from Dr. King. There's a lot of them. There's so many great lines. I mean, meaningful, important lines and
yes,
concepts and ideas that he expresses. It's hard to remember them all, but I wanted to bring up a topic I'm not sure was in that particular speech, and that's, okay, the politics, and you mentioned partisan politics. How, you know, how people get power and how some of these problems get resolved politically. And just point out that Dr. King was believed in nonviolence.
That's correct.
And that didn't mean you didn't break laws, but go to jail or take the consequence to make your point and get the publicity out. But strong believer in nonviolence, he studied Gandhi, and I think that's that's the part of it. People even like this CJ need to understand this is a whole different thing. It's so far apart from what we see in politics today in terms of a moral reasoning that he had. And I just wanted to bring up the nonviolent part because I think it's really important. You know, he was emotional about it like everybody else, but he stuck to his nonviolent principles and they worked.
You know, Jack, so, he hang on, Jack. He was imprisoned 18 different times and he never lifted a finger, never said anything negative, but yet he was locked up 18 times.
And his followers followed the same principles, allowing themselves to be hit. We had our recent congressman who passed away, beaten, and, you know, picture the bridge march where so many were beaten.
Cattle prods to women's breasts.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're putting it all on the line.
Yes, sir. And, you know, for those who don't know, so, Jack, so what about those who say we need to leave this in the past?
Oh, well, it'd be nice if we could leave it in the past, but it's still here. there's too many examples of racism in society today and in the individual actions of some of the so-called leaders that we've got and the way things are set up. So, and there's just until those are dealt with fairly and on a systematic basis, and the country starts putting an emphasis on correcting the wrongs of the past, but just making our society better society for everyone.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Madnair on air. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
And women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.